Missionary speaker tonight, we have Debbie West from Warsaw, Poland.
2.5 years it's been that I haven't been up here. It's real different to be gone away so long and then be able to come back and get to tell a little bit. You know, it was real hard to choose just a couple of things that I wanted to share. There's just so much that's happened in 2.5 years that how can you narrow 2.5 years down to about 30 minutes or less than that, 20 minutes? And I just wanted to thank all of you for this week. It's been a real refreshment, both in spirit and in body and soul. It's just been, you know, I've really missed the fellowship of the brethren. And it is good that the brethren dwell in unity.
Amen.
And that's what our message was this morning. And it's so good, you know, that we are to dwell in unity. And this is where we get our, this is where we huddle. And, you know, this is what we need. And I truly know that I needed it after that much time, you know. I became mechanical. You just kind of go without the compassion, without the love, without the compassion. In Jude chapter 1, we were visiting with this one sister, and Janice and I were dealing with her and talking with her and trying to show her what, in English, of course, we couldn't have done this in Polish. It was, you know, thank the Lord for these women who've been able to speak English. Well, Janice and I might not have felt like we'd had a part, but, it says, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And that caught me, just that one little verse, those few little words that says, and of some have compassion. I did this big study, which I'm not going to do right now, but I did this big study on have compassion and making a difference. I truly wanted to be one to have compassion on those, just as our Lord did on several people. I mean, He did not on all of them. Of course, He had compassion, but in His perfect way, He did. But on some, He had more compassion. On some, He healed. Some, He gave new life to. Some, He cleansed. And, you know, there were so many that I had gone through, and I was like, on some, He had compassion more than on others. And it was really interesting study to see. But I truly wanted to have compassion. And the last part that says, making a difference. Making a difference in people's lives. That's what we're here to do. That's what our job is to make a difference in what these people don't have. You know, to show them that they can have a life. Something that, that is real. Something that is something for eternity. And, it has been just a real blessing to be there working, to follow Joe, to go with him. I think the Lord that the brethren, like I just said, have been able to speak English. And one brother, actually from Belarus, was able to speak Spanish. And so it was really unusual to, you know, to see someone that could speak Spanish. And he couldn't speak sentences, but he could speak a little bit. And it was kind of neat to be able to converse a little bit with him, not to forget our Spanish. And we feel like we're making a difference when we're able to speak to them. Amen. Even if it is in English and broken Polish, just pray that we can learn this language, learn the language perfectly in their language. So, because Polish people definitely have a thing that if you don't know their language, you are an idiot. And it's like, I know I am, okay, so help me. Also, pray that, you know, our husbands can find the key messages to these people. The key messages, you know, that's kind of hard. They had to find the key messages in Mexico. Key messages was religion, was right on, you know, the priest and Mary and different, you know, different topics, which made a difference in these people's lives. And, you know, it's real hard when you've got communism and you've got atheism, you've got Buddhism, you've got the melting pot right there in Warsaw. Warsaw is a melting pot. And you've got everybody from A to Z, if they're there. And they speak, I stood in meetings with about 15 people before and was amazed at all the languages that people could speak. You know, there was people that could speak French, German, English, Hungarian, Russian, all in this one person. And then another person, they could speak Czech and who knows what else, and French and Spanish, and you're going, and then of course you got us, English, Spanish, and a little bit of Polish, you know. We're like, look at all this rich language, it's right here. And I was amazed to stand there and watch these people. But, you know, we're to make a difference, even in any language that we're able to. And really, they need to find the key messages to touch the people's lives over there. And also, as we were talking the other day, the key people, you know, who can go out and reach their own people. And that's been a real burden on our heart to get these brothers to get out. As the other women have spoken, that I too believe that the highest calling that we have to be as a woman is to be a wife and a mother. I think it is the highest calling. And I think it's even a greater calling when you're a wife of a preacher. I do. I think there's no greater calling when your husband's willing to serve the Lord and to get out and to do the Lord's work. Poland tends to be a woman's world. So you women livers, you could really like that. Poland is more than Mexico. That's where I tend to do. Joe says, well, you've got to remember you're doing your judging by Mexico, not, you know, where you got machoism. The United States still has that feminism a lot more than even Mexico. Yeah, you're right. So, the woman's world is mostly, you know, comparing to Mexico where it's machismo is, feminism. And that was real different because you walk in the store and there's all women. They serve you. They're the janitors. They're the directors of the school. They're the teachers. They're the, you know, it's mostly women. And, I don't know what the men do. I don't know. I've never walked into a mechanic's shop, you know, and see if there's women there too. Are there women there? No? Of course not. And it was real hard because the women would stand there and they direct the conversation to me. And I'm going, I don't understand. Joe understands that he knows Polish a lot better than I do. And they're looking at me and I'm going, okay. And I'm going, Joe. I'm kind of trying to, you know, guide their eyes. Look at him. He's the one that's understanding. Yet they'll direct the questions, direct the statements, and talk to me. And I'm going, I don't understand what you're saying. Until they realize that I don't understand, then they'll talk to him, you know. Then they'll direct it to him. And it was real different to see that. Another situation that had happened, my first week, Joe had already been there 2 weeks, and he'd been trying to get the kids in school. And when I got there, he and I both went up. We still know no Polish. This is the only third week. We hadn't started classes yet. All we have is our little Polish-English dictionary. And we go up to the school, and we're trying to get the kids enrolled. And, of course, it's a woman director. She's new. She's just been brought into this system, and she does not know anything about having foreigners in a school. And so she's not really willing to do this. And we're sitting down there, and she says, okay, what is your occupation? Finally, I think Joe went to the metal, the big cheese, and told them, you know, got in touch with them somehow through neighbors and stuff. And we were able to get our kids into school. She agreed we're going to put the kids into school. What is your occupation? So Joe says, in broken Polish, I am a minister. Okay, so she writes that down. Now, what does your wife do? He's going, Żona? You know, that's the word, Żona? What does wife do? You know, and this is how I said it in Polish. What does wife do? She's a wife. And she teaches you. I tell you what, you think you saw smoke come out. What do you mean she's a wife? Just a wife? No, you don't just be a wife. And she was irate with him for saying that I was just a wife. You just don't do that. And I'm going, yes, I'm just a wife. I can't say anything, but I'm just shaking my head going, She must have thought I was real ignorant or something. But, you know, that's just their ways of thinking, you know. A woman is more than just a wife. And if not, then she's something. I don't know. I know that, you know, like I said, I think truly that to be a wife and a mother is the greatest honor. And I thank the Lord that I have been given this honor to carry the gospel with my husband to another country, to share the word of God. And I didn't realize this. I had forgotten. When I went home this last time, when I was visiting, my mom kept a book for me. I was the last one, a baby, so I get all this stuff, you know. She stored all my stuff away, and I was reading something that I'd gotten from high school. And I was reading this one piece of paper, and it was high school paper, journal, from our teacher. And I was writing that I had hoped one day to be a good wife and mother, and to marry a missionary. You know, I don't remember writing that. I'm in high school. I mean, I want to serve the Lord, but I didn't remember writing to be a missionary. I mean, that word, a missionary? And I was like, wow, okay, Lord, you really had guided my life more than I even realized. He knew me from my mother's womb. And, you know, that's what he knows. He knows us. He knows what we are. He knows what our desires are and where our heart is. And, you know, I want to make a difference, not only in the community where we live, because it's difficult, but I want to make a difference in my family, in my home life. And that, I think, is probably one of the biggest areas that's, I think, real difficult. If you come right down, our children know us. They're not dumb. They know who we are. They know our shortcomings. They know what we're like. They know me. My children know me. They know when I get angry. They know when I am just playing around with them. But that is probably our biggest as wives and mothers. I guess same and one and the same is, this is our battleground. It's right there with our children to teach them because they know us. And in Psalms 144, David had a plea to God, and as I was reading it, it was more of a challenge, and I was like, wow, you know, this is what I want even in my life, and I want these blessings that David pleaded for here, that he asked God for. Psalms 144, verse 11, it says here, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and a right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I think David here was pleading to the Lord for his children. He was asking the Lord, Lord, help me to keep my children from the strange hand of people with strange religions. There, I believe it was there that in that day, and I know it's here today. There are people that just have strange ideas. Strange children, speaking vanity, they speak vanity, and a right hand is a right hand of falsehood. They're not rooted in the word. And I truly want to have my children not be deceived by strange religions. I want to keep them. I've heard of people that have raised their children, or not children, this one brother had his sister. She seemed to be going with the Lord, and all of a sudden, some strange religion was able to come in and snatch her. And I thought, how? How is that possible? Well, she wasn't rooted and grounded. Well, that's what I want, is our children to be rooted and grounded in the Lord, so that when these people come to our children, they can't. There's no possible way, because they have the Word of God here and here, and not just mechanically every Sunday or every Wednesday. And then verse 12, you know, I think David here was asking, you know, kind of why am I, Lord, is this right to ask? But then he says, yes, so that our sons may be as plants, grown up in their youth. I want my son to be rooted in the Word. To, you know, as plants, they need water. And what's the water for us today? It's the Word of God. Amen. And that's what I want for my son, for all of our sons, that they might be rooted in the Lord, grown up in their youth. Because when they're older, they're not, you know, if you start them later, they might not get rooted quite as deep as when they're young. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. You know, they too are very important. Cornerstones. I think of a cornerstone that holds up walls. That, you know, as Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her home, buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down. That our daughters might be the cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. I think that palace is something beautiful, wonderful palace. I mean, I've walked into palaces, I'm just like, ooh, ah, you know. But what's inside is what was beautiful, not what was on the outside. Sometimes palaces on the outside, you're thinking, this is a palace? I've been some in Poland that was like, this doesn't look all that pretty. Plain Jane, not so pretty maybe, but inside it was like, look at the floor, look at this, look at this stuff. But what is important in our children is not what's on the outside, because not all of us get to have beauty. Not everybody is beautiful. We all don't. There's lots of you girls out there that are gorgeous and beautiful, but you know, not all of us get that. But you know, what's beautiful is what's inside. Amen. That's what makes a girl and a woman beautiful, is what's inside. That's where the palace is at, is inside. And then I was looking down more, and it's talking to us women, you know, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our garners may be full, our home, that our pantries. I was asking Joe, I said, what exactly is garners? And he says, well, I think, you know, that's where you store your food, that our pantries, our home might be full, full for anybody who comes by. We can have enough to give to others. That our sheep and may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. Well, I just thought, well, hey, yeah, have meat on the table too. You know, not just having our pantry full of spices and all this stuff, but the meat. And then not only that, but in our workplace, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. And this verse was, you know, okay, that our oxen may be strong. I thought, okay, this is in our workplace. This is where we are, what we do. Some of you women have the opportunity to also be in a workplace. And, you know, and even in our homes, that our mixers might work. You know, that's our oxen. You know, that our ovens might not break down, so we might have the meals prepared for our husbands, and that there aren't any problems in the kitchen, no burns or anything. And that this is another, the last part of this, that there be no complaining in our streets. Boy, I fall short in that. I'm like, ah, you know, that there be no complaining. No, I'm sorry. I can't say that there hasn't been any complaining on my part. There has been. But this is something, this is a goal. This is something to aim for. I can't go anywhere else but up. You know, if I'm complaining, hey, I know that I can stop it and say, okay, I understand. You know? And verse 15. And then, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
And I just took that last part and I said, yeah. Happy is that people.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, of course, if we are putting all this in perspective in the right place, making a difference in people's lives and doing what the Lord's asked us and commanded us to do, then we can be a happy people. That doesn't mean we're not going to have troubles and trials come our way. That means that that we can be happy through them. You know, there's no promises that we're going to have perfect lifestyles, but you know, we can be a happy people and make a difference in people's lives.